Think of it as an opportunity to learn more about the person who's telling the story, learn more about your loved one, a way to get closer.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 29 of the Alzheimer's Podcast. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. I'd like to thank you for joining me for another podcast, where my goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Today we have another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, and I will be introducing you to the concept of looping. Looping, or the repeating of stories, is very common in dementia care, and how you approach it and or embrace it makes a world of difference. Allow it to happen, and you can have a deeper, richer interaction with your loved one. In case you're new, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, joins me regularly on the Alzheimer's Podcast for discussions to help empower you to be successful as you care for someone living with dementia. She is a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. She has run award-winning memory care communities in assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,100 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps move families from crisis management to confidence. Hello, Christy. It's great to have you here today. I'm looking forward to another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa.
Me too. Thanks so much for having me back. I love being here.
It's always wonderful to have you on. I learned so much and I do appreciate it. So Christy, I believe it was our holiday episode on mealtime tips and tricks where you introduced us to a concept or technique that you call looping. And that's where I believe, as you explained, when we have patience and we allow our loved one's mind to warm up, they're able to include more and more details as they share a story. I find this fascinating. And did I get that right?
Very close. So looping is just something that does happen for people who are living with dementia. And when we allow it to happen, it gets the result exactly what you were saying, where we get a deeper, richer story and connection and interaction with our person.
Sounds like a wonderful outcome, and I've never actually tried it. I think I've always just heard the story once and kind of moved on.
Right? That does happen a lot. One of the things I do when I'm doing an assessment is, of course, I'm listening very carefully, and one of the things I'm listening for is looping.
Okay.
Because that's something that does happen for people living with dementia. People who are showing pretty early signs, I call it cocktail Alzheimer's.
Cocktail Alzheimer's, okay.
Yeah, and the idea is that people who are earlier in the disease process with Alzheimer's will loop in a conversation. They'll loop back to the same thing, but it wouldn't be caught at a cocktail party. Because typically you only talk to people for 5-10 minutes, maybe, and move on to the next person. And so there will be conflicting reports in the family, right? Depending on how much time they spend with certain people in the family. And so then something like Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter, Passover, whatever comes up where we're with someone for a longer period of time. And it's all of a sudden, oh my gosh, when did this start? What happened? So there may have been other signs for some time, but this is the one that typically gets people's attention.
That's interesting. You made me think how I'm picturing grandma at Thanksgiving, and she talks to this relative and the story's like short and without a lot of detail. And then as she talks to more and more people, that same story evolves. And by the time you get to the third or fourth person, they're like, well, she was fine. She told me everything
exactly.
I remember. And then you have, so now you have the conflict between the family members because they're all right, but they're wrong.
Exactly. You nailed it.
I'll be darned.
And I just, one of the things I love most about what I do is getting to hear people's stories. So my grandfather was just a natural born storyteller. We're Irish, but so I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But he was an amazing storyteller, and people really would sit at the edge of their seats to listen to him. He was so entertaining. So I grew up that way. I love hearing people tell stories, and I always tell families when I'm doing an assessment, it's totally fine for you to be present, but I need you to stay out of the line of sight of your person, because when I ask questions, they're going to naturally look to you to answer the questions, right? So I've been saying that for years, works. Well, then I started to realize fairly quickly, the other thing I needed to add to the family before the assessment ever started was, please don't interrupt, because families will say, oh, mom, you already told that story. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at how many times do we revisit the same story in 30 minutes or 60 minutes, right? So, and that's a sign that the process is, you know, somebody's moving along in the process, the shorter the time is between these conversational loops. So somebody with what I call cocktail Alzheimer's may have 6 topics that they'll cover in 30 minutes. And somebody who is further along in the process may have those same 6 topics, but they're going to, you know, every 10 minutes. So you're going to hear each of those topics 3 times in 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right. So the loop gets shorter.
Okay.
And I had a client who, unfortunately, he just passed on December 30th. But this was a big bone of contention at the community where he lived, because he would tell these same stories, and some of his dinner companions were not too charitable, and his wife didn't know how to manage that. She didn't understand what was happening. And so that was one of the things that I worked with her on, is here's what's happening, here's how you can support him, and here's where it's fun. You get to hear more details. And because at that point he was telling stories about when he was in the Navy. And she, one of the comments she had made to me early on was, he's never really talked much about that. Then you are going to learn so much you never knew.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. You know, and of course I silently had my fingers crossed that it wasn't going to be something she didn't want to know.
Right. True.
This was before they were married, but still, you know, those sailors.
Yep.
So this is, and I encourage people to think of it. Think of it as an opportunity to learn more about the person who's telling the story. Learn more about your loved one, a way to get closer. There might be things that you find out that all of a sudden a bunch of other pieces click into place for you. That's why they've been this way their whole lives. I didn't know that. If I had known that, that would have, you know, really changed my outlook or our relationship or whatever. So sometimes it's a better late than never type situation, but there's just so much opportunity there. So when I'm talking about looping, that's typically what I'm talking about, is giving people that opportunity to let their brain warm up, to get richer in the details. But there's another kind too. And that's, it's the same thing is happening, but it's more, because someone is perseverating
on a certain topic. You're going to have to define that term for me.
So that's when somebody is going to stick with the same topic, even though there's no external stimulus.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, for example, I'm in my warm home, let's say. And, you know, I'm relaxed and I'm with my person who has dementia, and let's say they're perseverating about a doctor's appointment. right?
Okay.
And I haven't said anything about a doctor. I haven't said anything about going to an appointment. It's raining outside, so we're not going anywhere. We're staying in the warm, toasty home. But the doctor, they are perseverating about a doctor's appointment. And they just keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. So there's no apparent reason that I can see why they would even be talking about this.
Are they talking about a past one or a future one, or it just doesn't really matter? They're just
We don't know. We're going to put on our CSI cap and find out.
Okay, I got
it. So that's one of the things is we need to figure out, right? So we can ask questions like, hey, what's going on with that?
Okay.
And maybe they'll be able to tell us. But what we can pick up pretty readily is if someone is anxious about something, or if they're curious about something, right? Or if they're forgetful. And in the example I just gave, they're not forgetting and trying to gain information, but they may be having a memory. Maybe they had a bad doctor's appointment and their memory was triggered in some way. Smell really triggers our memory, right?
Yes.
And that's the biggest trigger. So smell, sounds, music, that's another huge one. Sight, not as much, but smell and sound are huge.
Absolutely.
So, you know, that can happen in a variety of different ways that we're not even conscious of, that it's going to trigger a memory for our loved one, which could be a good memory or it could be a bad memory. We don't know. So that's just something to be mindful of. And if they're seeming anxious about it, you know, offer reassurance. And offer reassurance does not mean try to talk them out of what they're feeling. That's not reassuring, right? So we all need to be able to feel whatever we're feeling. There's no right or wrong on that. It just is with feelings. But we can say something like, you know, I'm here with you now. I'm going to make sure you're safe. I'm going to make sure you're okay. I'm not going to let anything bad happen to you. Right? So we can just go for the reassurance there. Just one thing I always caution people about when they're trying to reassure someone is please don't cut them off at the pass. And that's really tempting to do when someone is kind of perseverating on something. It's easy for us to lose our patience and just say, oh my gosh, I already told you it's not happening.
Right.
Yes. That's not helpful. So, you know, instead, listen to what they're saying. Listen for the emotion behind what they're talking about and validate them. You know, I can see that you're upset. And by the way, validation is not the same as agreement, right? So, you know, I can see that you're upset and I'm sorry you're going through this.
Right. I had a friend at the local memory care community that often she would share, I can't say that word you used.
Perseverate?
Yes.
Would she perseverate about things?
She would perseverate about an ex boyfriend that was in the military, and she truly felt like he was at war. And she was obviously emotionally disturbed and worried about him. And, you know, the best I could do would be sit there and comfort her and listen to her and help her through that time. But it was, we built a good friendship, and I know she kind of remembered me that, you know, the next time or two, because just the bond that we had.
Because of how you made her feel.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and that's a great example there too. So you can listen to someone, right? Validate, you know, I can see you're upset about this. After that's happened, you can offer reassurance or, you know, sometimes redirection. So in the situation you're talking about, Mike, maybe after listening, that would have been a good time to say, you know, would you like help writing him a letter?
Right.
You know, something like that. So it all depends on the situation, but the main thing is being calm, listening. And I have actually seen professionals who have recommended something like, well, you know, just ignore them and it'll stop. And I'm like, what are you talking about? So please don't do that. Please don't just ignore someone. You know, it's happening for a reason. So, you know, if somebody is purposefully trying to tell you a story, they're doing that for a reason. They want to entertain you. They want to connect with you. They want to express their anxiety about something. They've had a memory that's triggered that they're trying to share with you. Maybe they're forgetful if they're asking questions, right? If they asked you, you know, 10 times in 15 minutes, when is my doctor's appointment? They're not doing that to annoy you. They're doing it because either they don't remember the answer you gave or they're telling you they're anxious about something. So I don't know about you, but, you know, when I'm anxious, being ignored does not reduce my anxiety.
Right.
In fact, being ignored, I'm not having it.
it makes it worse.
Right? Yeah. So you know, we don't want to be a jerk. And along those lines, we don't want to say something like, I just told you, don't you remember? Because, you know,
exactly.
Come on, we know they don't. That's why they're asking. just like we would ask something if we didn't remember what the answer was. So we can just be more reassuring and remember, you know, environmental cues, right, can decrease stress too. So if, for example, you have a big calendar, and I always come back to doctor's appointment because for some reason that is something that just really ratchets up anxiety in people living with dementia. So that's why that's my go-to example. But if we have a big calendar in the kitchen and we're writing doctor appointments on it and our person, you know, is still able to read, because typically people are able to read much further into the disease process than we understand, and they're seeing doctor appointments. Well, is that for me? Well, didn't I just go to the doctor? You know, that can cause some anxiety. So we can, you know, if it's something we want somebody to remember, put it in a prominent place on a big calendar. If it's something we don't need to share yet,
right,
keep it out of sight, right? And just keep the environment lower stress. People are going to get into more of this looping, like the showing anxiety kind of looping, the more stressful the environment or the more stress that they're feeling. So that's just something to know on the dark side of looping.
Right. So yeah, there's a dark side, but there's also the bright, joyful side of it that I wish I would have understood more when I haven't been going to the memory care communities lately or volunteering lately. And I wish I'd understood some of these techniques and strategies and just ways of better communication with people. That would have, because there's so much, I wanted to know so much about these people that I was becoming friends with, and I just never really got to that point.
Yeah, we're always learning, right?
Right.
So
hopefully.
One of the things that, you know, if this is a positive thing, right?
Yes.
Where you're noticing this looping is you just are encouraging as a listener. So, you know, leaning in, making eye contact, showing that you're interested, that you're listening. And then ask questions in the story. You know, somebody's, oh, well, what was that like? Or, wow, that seems like that would be scary. Or, were you nervous? Or, you know, whatever it is that shows that you're listening and gives people to an opportunity to really express themselves and why they're sharing the story with you. And because there's something about it, they're trying to connect with you. And so let's not forget that it's kind of a big deal that as people are losing language, they're making the effort to talk to you, to engage with you. And that means you're a big deal. And so it's a privilege.
You see them, see their eyes light up. You see their body language be positive, and you just see the joy in their face. I tell this story. I talk about a lady that always talked about Elvis because she grew up in Memphis, and he was running around Memphis at the time when she was in her 20s probably. And she's had some fascinating stories that I would always loved hearing. It was great for both of us.
Yeah, I'd love to hear those stories. One of my favorite memories is when I went to Graceland. I have an aunt that's just wild, this, because she was a teenager when he became popular. So, yeah. Right. But, you know, going back to for people who are telling stories to us, I do live in the real world, too. So I understand if it's you and your person at home every day and you're hearing the same stories every day, right, where that can start to feel like I can't do this anymore. You might be getting a little twitchy. So here's what I recommend for you, if you haven't already done it. When this story comes up again, pull out your phone and turn on the recorder, right? So you may get only audio. If you really have your wits about you, do video. Pull out, you know, hit the video feature and just say, this is a great story. I want to capture you telling it. Your future self is already like patting you on the back saying you're such a genius for doing that, because there will come a day when you would give anything to hear that voice again. And I know a lot of times we think in real time, oh, you know, I wish Dad was how he used to be. The reality of a chronic progressive condition is today is the best day, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have a loved one who is able to tell a story today, pull out the video recorder and record it. I promise you will not regret the time you spend doing that. And then also, if you're like, you know, I would love to hear pretty much any other story, instead of asking for somebody to switch to another story, which may be difficult for them or kind of beyond what they're able to do, start kind of leading in other directions. Right. So for example, I had a client who often told, and it was a really funny story, and he was a very good storyteller, about this time that he and a buddy were in Hawaii when they were in the service, and they were checking out the girls on the beach in bikinis. Now, you know, you have to understand, like, this was like Marilyn Monroe era bikinis.
Okay, right.
Right? They'd never seen so much skin in all their lives. And his buddy walked into a palm tree, like clocked himself by walking into a palm tree, right? And so he started telling that story a lot. And it was getting on, you know, people's nerves, right? Because they'd heard it too many times. This right. was his family was feeling like they'd heard it too many times. And they said, well, ask him other questions about it. What other questions? He keeps telling the same story. I'm like, well, okay, they were in Hawaii, so what else did he see in Hawaii?
Right.
Was his friend okay? Did he have to go to the hospital? Did it damage the palm tree? Did they ever make dates with these girls? They were in the Navy? Oh, well, where were they stationed? You know, what made them decide on the Navy instead of the Army or the Air Force or the Marines or the Coast Guard? Had they ever been to Hawaii before? And, you know, to me, I'm a naturally curious person. So I'm like, I can come up with 100 questions on this one story, like right now.
Exactly.
Because I want to know everything. Tell me everything. You know, oh, you decided on the Navy because that's what your whole family's done. Interesting. So does your family have a long history of military service? Because in my family, we can trace our service back to the Revolutionary War, which is pretty cool, I think. So, you know, it's okay to make it interactive and to go in different directions. And that kind of gives you a little break, yes. But also, again, whip out that iPhone and hit record, because you know, there's a really good possibility you're going to find out a bunch of stuff you didn't know before. Right?
So true.
So you don't have to turn it into an episode of Jeopardy. Like I said, you know, share, right? You can share back and forth. But, and the other thing, just make sure, because if somebody's telling a story and it's kind of winding up and they're looping, right? And you're just like, I can't hear the story one more time. Understand that their brain is in that loop. So when you interject, it's like somebody's going, you know, 40 miles an hour and suddenly slams on the brakes. So you give them a minute to incorporate, right? To hear what you said, to process what that sound means. What's the meaning behind that? and then to search for an answer, and then to go in that direction. So don't just, you know, jump in randomly when they're telling a story. You wait for a natural pause or when they're taking a breath. Ask a simple, concise question. Understand it's going to take a minute to, you know, kind of turn the corner on that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
Right. That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense. Just would you have to remember and have the patience to do that, right?
Yeah. And again, you know, we are talking about dementia. You're going to have so many opportunities to
practice. Well, so Christy, as we wrap up this episode, are there any final thoughts on the concept of looping that you'd like to share with our audience?
I just think, you know, like with anything else in life, right? How we look at something, it really determines a lot of the takeaway that we get from it, the experience that we have, you know, how we color the experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those things where often we're just kind of told that it's a negative thing.
Right. Right.
You know, and it doesn't have to be. And I hope that I've shared some ideas that will help dementia care partners see, like, there's a pretty big silver lining here.
I agree. I believe that was a really great conversation you just shared with us on looping and how, rather than let it be a negative, as you're saying, that we can embrace it and work with it and help expand upon it, if you will, to learn more about people and our loved ones and just take it to the next level of that understanding them.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, that does conclude our conversation, Christy. So thanks again.
They always go so fast.
They do, don't they? I look forward to having you on the show again soon for another episode of Navigating Rough Terrain with the Dementia Sherpa. I hope those of you in our audience have learned some new techniques to help make your time with your loved ones more enriching by embracing looping and encouraging storytelling. Be sure to visit Christy's website at DementiaSherpa.com. You'll find the link as well as all reference resources in the show notes at togetherinthis.com/episode29. And don't forget, Christy is a regular guest on the Alzheimer's podcast. So be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Bye now.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Alzheimer's podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.